This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Bridget Hilliard.
Amen. All right. How many of you have ever seemingly, though, that in the body of Christ, many times you can watch television and it almost seems as though everybody is teaching the same thing, or you hear people actually like, seems like when it's about prosperity, everybody's talking about money, and you'll turn on Pastor Dollar, you'll hear him talking about money. Then you may watch Pastor Hilliard's program and it seems like the same week he's teaching on money. And then from time to time, you'll hear people and it's like a wave in the body of Christ, and it's like everybody's teaching on the Holy Spirit, and it's almost as though they've collaborated together to come up with their lessons, and then they all come out on television around the same time. Well, you know, many times people think that ministers are collaborating together, but it's not so much that they're collaborating together, it's just simply that they're in tune to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God has a special message that he wants to get to the body of Christ at a particular time, and so it just happens that those persons who are in tune are ministering the same thing at the same time. Well, why did I say all of that? I said all of that because here at the gathering, there are going to be many speakers that are speaking, many people that are going to be preaching, and a lot of the things that you're going to hear may be the same thing that you heard from somebody else. And I may even say some things that you've heard from somebody else that's already ministered, or somebody may come behind me that's going to minister something similar to what I've already said, but it's all because the Spirit of God is trying to get a word to you. Amen. And you know, several months ago, the Spirit of God impressed upon us that we needed to prepare the body of Christ for an outpouring of divine favor, that this was the year that God was going to overshadow or overflow the body of Christ with divine favor. And so I'm going to be teaching today on how to tap in to the divine favor that God has for you, and that it's your set time to walk in that favor. Amen. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, it's my time to walk in the favor of God. All right, Psalms 102, verse 13. You should be there by now. Psalms 102, verse 13 says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. And this scripture said that there is going to come a time where the favor of God is going to come upon Zion. And Zion here is talking about a hill or a place in Jerusalem. But if you look over in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Zion being a typology of the church. And what's happening here is that this is a prophetic word that the writer is writing, saying that there's going to come a time when in the body of Christ, the favor of God is going to come upon the body of Christ. And so the set time for you is the moment that you receive the revelation. The moment that you understand that God is talking to me, this is not just an abstract scripture out there, but God is specifically talking to me. And so it's my time to walk in the favor of God. Well, what is the favor of God? The favor of God is God's goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his overflowing love, preferential treatment. And the most simplest way that I can put it is God raising up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. And so what I want to do today is I want to prepare you for an outpouring of divine favor to come upon your life, so that you'll begin to expect God to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you, and that in every area of your life, you're walking in the favor of God. Amen? Say to yourself, say, it's my time to walk in the favor of God. All right, turn over to Psalm 65, Psalm 65. And you know, in order to walk in any spiritual truth, there are four things that you need in order to walk in any spiritual truth. In order to walk in any spiritual truth, in other words, when you see a truth in the Word of God, in order for you to walk that truth out, there are four things that you need. Number one, you need a revelation. And that's an understanding of that truth at the level of your comprehension. In other words, when you see a truth in the Word of God, it has to be explained to you at a level that you can understand it. Then the second thing that you need, if you're going to walk in any spiritual truth, is you need a role model. You need to have a role model, either biblical or contemporary, somebody who's actually lived out the principle that you see in the Word of God. Then the third thing that you need is you need a regimen of faith. You need a systematic way to apply that truth in your life so that you can get the same results that the people that are your role models received in their lives. And then the fourth thing you need is you need a righteous resolve. In other words, you need a godly reason for that truth to operate in your life. Well, today, I'm going to give you a revelation on the divine favor. I'm also going to serve as a role model, and then I'm going to give you some biblical role models as well. And then I'm going to show you systematically how to take the word of God, apply it to your life so you can walk in this divine favor, so that never again will you have to walk around wondering if it's the will of God for you to have others go out of their way to help you. But you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's the will of God for me to have preferential treatment. It's the will of God for me to live a first-class life. It's the will of God for his goodness and his kindness and his mercy to come upon my life as never before. And so this is the year for you to walk in that divine favor. Amen. Say it again. Say, it's my time to walk in the favor of God. Now, the fourth thing, the righteous resolve, that's a determination that you have to make yourself. You have to determine that I'm going to walk in God's favor so that I can glorify God with my life, and not so I can walk around with the big head, walk around like I'm somebody, but I want God to be glorified so that when people see the blessings of God or the promotions in my life, all they can say is just that favor working in her life. You know, when circumstances and events and situations happen in your life that didn't happen as a result of your skills or your talent or your resources, and people are wondering, how in the world did she get where she is? How in the world did she get that job that she got? How in the world did he get that promotion that he got? How in the world is he living in that house that he's living in? Then your response is not that it was my smarts and my wit. No, it's just that favor working in my life. Hallelujah. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, it's just that favor working in my life. Amen. You know how many times you'll go into a restaurant and it'll be crowded, it'll be a line of people in the restaurant, and then all of a sudden there's somebody at the counter that knew you from when you were in school, and they say, hey, you don't need to wait anymore. Come on, you can come on up to the front of the line, and they give you a seat right in the front of the restaurant. Well, you know, for me, I'm one of those people who love to shop, and so when I go to malls and they don't have valet parking, well, I start confessing the favors working in my life, because I don't want to walk half a block to try to get to the mall. So I start confessing favor before I get to the mall when I know they don't have valet parking. And then as soon as I turn in, somebody's coming out, and I say, it's just that favor working for me. Hallelujah. So when the favor of God comes upon your life, all you need to do is, when people are trying to figure it out, don't let them be stressed out about it. Say, it's just favor working in my life. Amen. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, it's just favor working in my life. All right, Psalm 65, verse 11. Says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. And remember, goodness is one of the words that means favor. And then the Amplified says, you crown this year with your bounty and goodness. And so this is the year for you to walk in this goodness and this kindness, this preferential treatment that God has for your life. But now, in order for you to walk in it, you've got to begin to expect the favor of God to work in your life. You know, many times we see promises in the Word of God, and we don't realize that we've got to release our faith for those promises to come to pass in our lives. You know, a couple of weeks ago, as I was studying this lesson, if you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, as I was studying this lesson, and the Spirit of God began to impress upon me how people don't live like God is alive. You know, we live like God is way out somewhere in a far distance, and that, you know, when I need him, I'll call him. But it's not like he's daily operating in our lives on a consistent basis. And the Spirit of God impressed on me that people need to start living every day like God is alive. I mean, like on a consistent basis, that God wants to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. No matter what area of life you're in, whether it's you need your light bill paid and you don't have the money, God will raise up somebody at the light company to give you an extension on the due date so that you can have the money in time when you need it. And it'll be just the favor of God working, and God wants to do that for you in your life, but you have to begin to expect it to happen for you. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that the promises of God are received by faith. And Galatians 3:13 is basically talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, but it's a universal principle that all the promises of God are received by faith. So you've got to begin to release your faith for God to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. God to cause preferential treatment to come upon your life. God to cause his goodness to overflow in your life in such a measure that people will be marveled over it, and they'll say, what is going on in her life, or what's going on in his life? And all you got to say is, it's just favor working in my life. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the word hope here can be better translated or better used by saying your expectation, because your hope is your expectation. So your faith can only give substance to what you expect. So if you don't expect anybody to go out of their way to help you, then nobody's ever going to go out of their way to help you. But if you begin to expect other people to go out of their way to help you, then people will go out of their way to help you. So you can literally read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 like this. Now, faith is the substance of things I expect. It's the evidence of things I have not seen. So my faith is the substance of what I expect. So since your faith is the substance of what you expect, then your faith can only give you what you expect. So your expectation sets the limits for what your faith can produce. So if you don't expect but a little bit from God, then you're only going to receive a little bit from God. But if you expect the overflow from God, then the overflow is going to come about in your life. Amen. And you have to begin to expect it like never before. You got to begin to pursue favor like you pursue everything else. That I want the favor of God to come upon my life so that others will be marveling over me. And then let me just tell you something in advance. When you start releasing your faith for the favor of God, people are not going to like you. You're going to have people who are going to be jealous. You're going to have people who are going to talk about you, saying, you know, I don't know why she got that. I don't even know why she's up there. Who put her up there? Well, it's just that favor working in my life. Amen. You know, turn over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. You know, several years ago, I had the opportunity to preach at Woman Hour Loose in our city when Bishop Jakes came to Houston. And I had the opportunity to stand before 55,000 women at one time and minister the word of God. And so people in the city start saying, how'd she get that opportunity? Who is she? Does T.D. Jakes know her? Well, how do you get up in there with T.D. Jakes? Well, first of all, I never even met T.D. Jakes before he called me. I never even saw an end-time message by T.D. Jakes. But what happened was T.D. Jakes was watching television one day, and he saw me preaching on TV, and he told his wife, I got to get her at Woman Thou Art Loose. Well, when he originally asked me to come speak for him, I turned him down. And my family was like, Mama, you need to pray about that. And so I prayed about it and had the opportunity. And when people start asking me, how did you do it? It's just favor working in my life. And, you know, many times I try to think about if that was one principle that I believe transformed my life or it caused me to be where I am now, the promotion in my own personal life, the promotion in my ministry. If I had to say one thing that has transformed my life, it was the revelation I got on divine favor. You know, when we first got the message of faith, we understood faith. But then once I understood that I could begin to release my faith for God to raise up somebody somewhere to use their power and their ability and their influence to help me, it literally changed my life. And one pivotal point in my life that, you know, really changed my life completely. And when I get ready to tell you this testimony, I'm telling you in advance that when this happened, I was not in faith like I am now. I was not as mature as I am now. So don't judge me when I give you this testimony. Well, many years ago, when my husband got the message of faith and started understanding faith, he was changed instantaneously. I mean, like, one minute he was a worrywart, and the next minute when he got faith, everything changed. I mean, his mouth changed. He used to worry so much. He had wrinkles in the top of his forehead that were permanent. I mean, one day he was wrinkle-headed, and the next day he was totally changed. So much so that I thought he was gone crazy. That's how serious he just changed just like that. So one particular Sunday, we're sitting in church, and we've always lived on basically what is called a love offering, where people can determine how much we would get from either checking on an offering envelope or, you know, filling out a love offering envelope or whatever. We've always lived like that from day one in our ministry. Well, at this particular time, our church had just started. Matter of fact, we were still probably probably in the Baptist church then, so it had to be like way before 1984. And we had just come out of a big church fight and had started New Life Missionary Baptist Church. And, we were living on love offering. And so this particular week, we had no money in savings because for a little while after we both went into full-time ministry, we were living on by faith, but it was the faith of our savings account. And so we had depleted all of our savings, and we were just living from week to week. And I know many of you all can't relate to living from week to week, but we were living from week to week. In other words, we needed that week to help us make it to the next week. And sometimes we even needed that week and the week coming up to make it through the week. So we were sitting in church, and he preached his message and everything, and I'm still not convinced on this faith and the Holy Spirit and all that, because I grew up in a Baptist church, and, you know, they didn't teach us about being filled with the Holy Spirit and all that, but he was gone with it. I mean, he was gone full speed ahead on this being filled with the Holy Spirit and confessing the word and faith. And so we're sitting there, and church is just about to be over, and he's made the appeals, and people have come up and gotten saved, and he's given his final closing remarks, and he said, "I feel impressed of the Lord today to give my love offering back to the church." So I'm sitting here and I say, I'm sitting like on the front row and I go, "What?" I mean, loud. And now we're in a building where, you know, it's like a little small building, and, you know, the sound is resounding off the wall, so everybody hears me go, "What?" And I mean, I was like, just, I couldn't believe him. So then he goes on to say, he says, "And if God hasn't come through for us by Monday, Sister So-and-so, we're going to eat at your house." And then he said, "If God doesn't come through us for us by Tuesday, Sister So-and-so, we're going to eat at your house. And if God hadn't come through us for by Wednesday, Sister So-and-so, we're going to eat at your house." So I'm sitting on that front row, and I can feel my jaw swelling up. I mean, it was like a swelling process was going on. And so I'm sitting here thinking, this boy has really lost it. So then I think he realized that we had no food at home at all. It wasn't like we had food stored up in the cupboard or we had food sit back in the freezer. Nothing like that. So he gets to Wednesday and he says, "Oh, wait a minute. We got to eat somewhere today. Sister so-and-so, we're going to come home with you today." And then he pointed out somebody for the entire rest of the week. So I already told y'all I wasn't as spiritual as I am now. I wasn't as full of faith as I am now. So we get in the car, and I said, "What is wrong with you?" I say, "Me and these kids don't have no food." I said, "And then to think that you done gave the money to the church." I said, "What do you think we're going to do this week? Then on top of all of that, this is the week of my birthday, and how dare you give all the money away?" Because birthdays to me are like holidays. Care about Mother's Day. You know, I'm happy I'm a mother. I could care less about Father's Day. I don't even care about no anniversary. You know, I've been married 30 years this year, and they were trying to get me to renew my vows, and I said, "I ain't concerned about that. Next year, I'm going to be 50. That's all I'm concerned about right now." So all them other holidays in between now and my birthday ain't important. So anyway, this is the week of my birthday, and I am literally livid. So I'm going him up and down. I said, "And then you further embarrass me by telling me we got to go eat at Sister So-and-so's house and Sister So-and-so." I said, "What could possibly be wrong with you?" And you know what his response was? He said, "God will provide." He said, "I believe the Spirit of God impressed upon me to do that, and God's going to provide." I said, "Well, yeah, he better hurry up and provide some." But now, see, I'm hungry and I'm mad. So here we go trucking over Sister So-and-so's house on Sunday. Well, Monday, God hadn't come through for us. So we go to the other Sister So-and-so's house on Monday. Then Tuesday, God still hadn't come through. So we went to the other Sister So-and-so's house by Tuesday. But Wednesday, favor started working for us. It was so incredible. Wednesday, this guy who had not been in church that Sunday, had no idea what was going on. He had gotten a big insurance settlement. He comes by the church and says, Pastor, God told me to come by the church today and not wait until Sunday to bring you my tithes from my insurance settlement. He said, but not only do I have my tithes from my insurance settlement, but I have a big love offering for you and Dr. Bridget. It was like in the thousands of dollars. Then he said, and then when I was cashing my check, God told me to go and get a cow killed and kill the cow and have it prepared and give you guys the meat from the cow. So he gave us an entire cow fully prepared. Then he said, and I got all the fixings to go along with it. How many of you know after that, I was convinced that the favor of God comes upon your life. So it was just that favor working for us. Well, guess what? The same favor that came upon our lives can come upon your life if you will release your faith for the favor of God. You have to begin to expect God to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. You've got to begin to release your faith for the goodness of God to come upon your life in such a way that it cannot be explained by human reasoning, and it just has to be the favor of God working in your life. Hallelujah. Psalms 119. Here the psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 58, he says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought upon my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So the psalmist says, I went after favor with my whole heart. With everything that was in me, I started pursuing the favor of God. And in verse 59, it says, I thought on my ways. And the Message translation of that scripture says, when I took a long and careful look at my ways, I decided to get in your way, and I got on the path that you had blazed for me. In other words, the psalmist says, I was looking at how I was doing it, and I wasn't walking in any favor. And I decided to get on the path that you had blazed for me, and then I began to experience favor in my life. You know, many of us grew up in churches where we were told that, you know, what is all of this? You don't need anything else. As long as you've got Jesus, you've got enough. How many of you have ever heard that? You know, and I grew up in a church where they said, if anything better happens to you other than you getting born again, you better look out because something bad's going to happen to you. Well, how many of you know God wants to give us Jesus and he wants to give us everything else along with it? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. He wants you to have Jesus, all right, but he wants you to have everything that goes along with walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And the Amplified says, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously, and that word gracious is a word favor, it's a word for favor, graciously give us all other things. So yes, he gave us Jesus, but he said just because he gave us Jesus, that wasn't all that he could give us. He gave us Jesus, and he wants to graciously, favorably give us everything else that goes along with us having a good life. How many of you know God wants you to have a good life? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. Because in order to properly interpret scripture, you need to see it in precept as well as an example. And precept is the principle. See the principle actually found in the Word of God. And then you need to see an example of it in order to properly interpret scripture. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Word of God, and we're going to show you that favor is undeniably in the Word of God as a principle. And then we're going to show you some people who actually lived out the principle in that, the principle of favor in their lives, so that you can begin to release your faith for this favor to come upon your life. How many of you say that you're righteous and that you're a good person in the sight of God? All right. Well, if you're a good person and you're a righteous person, Proverbs 12:2 says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. So if you're good, you should be obtaining the favor of the Lord. Amen. Now turn over to Psalms 5. Psalms 5. just giving you the principle of favor throughout the Word of God so that you can see that it's something that you can release your faith for. Psalms 5 says, verse 12, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield." And the Amplified says, "For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you as with a shield. You will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor." Now, I know many of you out there are saying, well, those are all scriptures from the Old Testament. She ain't read not one scripture about favor from the New Testament. Well, I knew you were going to be here, so turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because in the Old Testament, the word is many times put as favor, and then in the New Testament, many times it's the word grace. And grace is the multifaceted grace of God, and we've understand it many times as the grace that saves us. But for the next couple of minutes, we're going to talk about this grace or this favor that comes upon your life that causes preferential treatment to happen in your life. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And the Amplified says, "May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedoms from fears and agitating passions and moral concepts, conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So this scripture says that not only can favor come upon your life, but favor can be multiplied to you. Amen. Not just added, but multiplied. How many of you know multiplication makes it more significant? Amen. It's one thing to add 2 plus 2, but it's a different thing when you say 2 times 3, because 2 times 3 is 6. But if you say 2 plus 3, it's only 5. So you get more when it's multiplied. So God says grace and peace can be multiplied to you. Amen. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, "I want multiplied favor in my life." And then, of course, the Bible has undeniable examples of favor working in the lives of people. The Bible talks about how Joseph experienced the favor of God upon his life. And then in Genesis chapter 26, it talks about how Isaac had God with him and that he was in a situation where Abimelech and some of his friends were hating him. And Isaac said, why are you guys hanging around me? What are you doing? Why I always see y'all around me? And they said, "Because we know that the Lord is with you." In other words, we can see God's favor on your life, and so we want some of that favor to come upon our lives. And then, of course, the Bible talks about how Nehemiah experienced favor with the king, that the king ended up paying for his entire project because he had favor with the king. And then, of course, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, in the book of Ruth, the Bible talks about how Ruth found favor with Boaz, that she found favor so much so that Boaz instructed the people who were gleaning in the fields to get extra handfuls of wheat so that they could give it to Ruth so she could take it back home to Naomi because of favor working in her life. And so it was just that favor working for Ruth. Amen. So favor is demonstrated throughout the Word of God. And I know you may say, "Well, I don't need nobody to be raised up to help me." Let me tell you something. You may have all the money that you need to do anything that you want to do in life, but money can't get you in places where you need to get. You need some favor. And so many times favor will come before finances come. So all of us need somebody to help us. And then the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, that no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. So you need people in your life. Amen. So you need somebody to help you, and you need to have favor with the people that God raises up to help you. And remember, I said you got to learn how to release your faith for the favor of God. Well, many times when you say that, people don't really understand, what does it mean to release my faith? Turn over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And you know, I know this is a faith teaching church and that you guys learn faith, but I don't want to take for granted that everybody here understands faith. So we're going to give you a quick ABC lesson on the God kind of faith so that you can begin to release your faith for this favor to come upon your life, this goodness, this kindness, this mercy to come upon your life so that people will know that it's just the favor of God working in your life, because favor has so many benefits. When you really understand the full impact of favor on your life, you'll want to release your faith for the favor of God. Just some of the benefits of divine favor. Favor causes promotion and increase to come in coming into your life. You know, the Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 39 how Joseph was there in prison, and that because Joseph had the favor of God upon his life, the keeper of the prison gave him rule over all the prisoners in the prison. And then it says that he didn't even worry about what Joseph was doing because he knew that Joseph had God with him. Amen. So favor causes promotion and increase. And then favor can also cause you to increase in real estate acquisitions. In other words, you want more houses, then because of the favor of God, you can increase in real estate. And I know you're probably saying that ain't biblical. Ain't no way nobody ever got no real estate because of no favor. Well, you know I wouldn't say it if it wasn't in the word, right? Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 23, how the Bible talks about how Naphtali possessed the land to the north and the south because the favor of God was upon his life. And then Psalms 44, 3 says that they got not the land by their own hand, but because the favor of God came upon their lives. So many times you can get houses and lands that you didn't build. You can get places that you didn't even pay, don't even have the qualifications to get just because of the favor of God on your life. Amen. So favor will cause you to acquire real estate. And then favor causes deliverance from dispute and opposition. In other words, if there's a conflict going on and you need it to be settled, the Bible talks about how in Joshua chapter 6, how Rahab was in the midst of a conflict and dispute, but because of the favor of God upon her life, she was delivered and her whole household was delivered. And it was just that favor working for her. Amen. And then, of course, the Bible talks about how favor brings you into prominence, allowing people to recognize you in places where you would not be recognized. And we already talked about that, how Ruth was recognized by Boaz and she didn't do anything. It just brought her into the place of favor. And then favor causes petitions to be granted from hostile authorities. And that's in Exodus chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, talks about how Israel had favor with the Pharaoh. And then how many of you have ever wanted a policy to be reversed in your favor? Well, that's one of the benefits of divine favor, that policies will be reversed if you walk in the favor of God. Because in Esther chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, it talks about how Esther had favor with the king and the policy that was going to destroy them was reversed and they would end up blessed by it. Amen. So if there's a homeowner's policy that you want to have reversed, or if there's an IRS conflict that you want to have reversed on your life, you begin to release your faith for the favor of God, and we believe that that policy will be reversed, and we call the whole thing canceled. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so let's see how we can release our faith for this favor working in our lives. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, the ABCs of faith are so simple, and because we know that it's a promise in the Word of God for us to walk in divine favor, and since the Bible says that he will give us the desires of our heart, so that means that the desire has to be in line with the Word of God. And so since we know favor is in line with the Word of God, I'm going to show you step by step how to release your faith for divine favor to come upon your life. The first thing that you do in the ABCs of faith, if you're going to release your faith for favor, you must ask. Ask the Father in Jesus' name. So what you do is you on Monday, you go to God and you say, Father, your word declares that the favor of God should come upon my life. Because I'm the righteous, I should be walking in the favor of God. So Father, I'm asking you for favor in any particular situation that you need the favor of God in. If it's that you need favor on your job, or if you need favor at the light company, you need favor at the mortgage company, then you go to God on that first day and you ask the Father in Jesus' name. Then the second step, if you're going to release your faith, you must believe you receive at the moment you pray. So in other words, the day that you prayed for this favor, you have to believe that you received the favor of God on that day. Now, how do you believe it if you don't have it? If it hasn't manifested yet? You know, you believe in God for favor on your job, and then you go to work and your supervisor curse you out. Well, that's not favor. So how are you going to believe for it if it hadn't manifested? Well, you have to believe it by faith. You have to believe that on the day that you prayed for it, that the angels in heaven heard your prayer and they set aside favor on your behalf. And I always like to explain it like this. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that God has blessed us with all spiritual things in heavenly places. So there is a heavenly place where everything that you'll ever need in this life, the raw material of that thing has already been made for you over in a heavenly arena. So favor is already existing in another arena that you cannot see. So I always like to explain it like this. How many of you have ever put anything in the layaway? Layaway Christians? Any layaway Christians? I'm talking about before you came to World Changers and got faith and understood how to be prosperous, you put stuff in the layaway. All right. Well, when you put stuff in the layaway, on the day you put the stuff in the layaway, you don't take it to your house, but it goes where? Into a warehouse at the store. So the only thing that they give you from the store is a receipt saying you've got something on layaway and it's been set aside for you over in an unseen arena that you can't see right now, but it's over in a warehouse for you. So you have to see your faith that the moment you prayed for favor, that the angels of the Lord are like over in a spiritual warehouse and they have set aside favor with your name on it. And the day that you prayed for the favor of God is set aside over in an unseen arena waiting for you to claim the manifestation of it. And just like with a layaway, if you keep making your payments, it will come out of the warehouse and into your house. Amen. So that's the next step. After you believe you receive it, your payment on your layaway is the confession of your mouth. Every day you got to confess and believe that you receive what you prayed for. In other words, the next day you wake up, you're not experiencing the favor of God, but you know it's already been set aside for you over in that unseen arena. You know it's over there. It just hadn't manifested yet. So your confession is, Father, I just want to thank you. I believe I receive favor on my job. And so when you pray for it, just like when you put something in the layaway, it gets closer and closer to time for you to bring it to your house. Well, when you put it in the spiritual warehouse, the angels bring it closer and closer over into the natural realm. And so just like you go around telling everybody, girl, I got a sofa in the layaway, and in a couple of weeks, that sofa's going to be in this house, and you start moving everything around, getting ready for that new sofa. Why? Because you know that as long as you make your payments, it's no way they can keep you from that sofa. So as long as you keep believing and confessing, it's no way anybody can keep you from the favor of God. So you ask the Father in Jesus' name. You believe you receive when you pray. You confess it because you know that that's the way to get your payments made on your spiritual layaway that you have. And D, you begin to demonstrate. In other words, you start walking around like I'm walking around expecting the favor of God to come upon my life. Everybody I see, I'm expecting you to be the person that God's raising up to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. On my job, if my supervisor just goes completely off and don't want to do what the Word of God said, I believe God's going to move out one and put in another. Why? Because I've released my faith for the favor of God. Now, I don't go to work and jump in and start acting like she's acting. No, I go in acting like a child of God who understands favor of God is upon my life, and I'm walking in this favor. And when she curses me out, I don't curse her back. I just walk around with my head up, and I say, favor's working in my life. And it's just a matter of time. Either you're going to move or I'm going to move because favor is working in my life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you believe you receive when you pray, you confess what you believe you receive, you demonstrate that you believe you receive when you pray, and then you endure. Endurance is just simply waiting on the manifestation. In other words, I'm going to do everything I know to do until I see the manifestation. And guess what? In the midst of tests and trials in your life, endurance is the key for you coming out of it. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 12, he that endureth temptation shall receive the crown of life. So endurance is the key to you getting the manifestation of what you believe in God for. In other words, you got to endure until you see it come to pass. My confession is not changing. My walk is not changing. Why? Because I know what I prayed for has already been set aside for me over in an unseen arena, and I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Now, you can endure when you understand that you've been there before. So that's why the Bible says in James chapter 1, you can count it all joy. The reason why you can count it all joy, because you already know something's going to happen. You can count it all joy that favor's working in your life because you've seen God bring you out of situations in the past. And it's just a matter of time before this situation comes to pass. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I took a stress test because we got some new life insurance. And so in order for them to see if I was going to live a long time, I had to go and take this stress test. And so the whole thing about the stress test is to see how long you can endure. You know, and so if you've never been through a test where God has brought you out, you can't endure too long. But if you've been through a situation before and God brought you out before, the same God that brought you out before will bring you out again. So it makes endurance a little bit easier because I know if God brought me out before, like me, I'll never worry about having no food. Why? Because 20-some years ago when I didn't believe, but my husband believed, God brought food that I didn't know where it was going to come from. So I already been through that before. So the devil can't trip me up and say, you're going to go hungry. You ain't going to never have nothing. I will give everything I have to the kingdom of God. Why? Because I've already been through that test before. So anyway, I go in to take the stress test. And the doctor says, okay, we're going to put you on this treadmill. And they hook all of these cords up to you, you know, and you got on this little surgical gown. And they tell you to bring your tennis shoes with you. And so I'm there, and they hooking me all up, got stuff all over me. They put me on the treadmill. He says, well, every 3 minutes it's going to incline, and then the speed is going to go up. And when you get to the point where you're at a number 7 between the scale of 1 and 10, you need to let me know because then we need to slow it down. So I was like, okay, no problem. So he puts it on, and, you know, they put in based on your age and based on your height, how long you ought to be on the machine before you get to 7. So I'm on the machine, and I'm going, and I got all these stuff on me. So I'm like, okay, are you expecting me to run with this stuff on? He said, do whatever you need to do to keep up. Said, okay, no problem. So he said, well, are you tired yet? We all like, I'm on there like about 9 minutes. I said, no. He said, well, where are you on the scale from 1 to 7? I said, I'm still on 1. So he said, well, based on your age, you should be tired now. So we get up to like 12 minutes on the machine, and it's going like at 5.5, and I'm running with the things all on me, and my heart rate is at a steady race. And he's like, are you tired yet? I said, no. He said, where are you on the scale of 1 to 7? I say, I'm still on 1. Where are you? He said, I'm getting a little bored with you right now. He said, because it looks like you're not going to tire out. He said, so we're going to cut this off and just let you sit down. He said, and this is what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to send a report to your insurance company that you have the body of a 25-year-old athlete. And check this out. He says, and you'll live to be 120 years old at this rate. I said, when I got off, I said, I didn't need to take this test for that. But anyway, since you did it, but why could I do that? Why could I stay on the machine like that? Why could I endure through that? Because that wasn't the first time I stepped on a treadmill. So in your own life, when the devil brings tests and trials in your life, you have to understand my faith is that the part of my faith process is that I must endure. And so since I have to endure, this ain't the first time I had to face anything like this. This is not the first time I had to go through anything like this. So I can endure. How long? Come on, devil, shoot your best shot. It ain't going to move me. Why? Because I know God's going to bring me out. Hallelujah. You can endure. Why? Because you know God's going to bring you out, and it's a promise from the Word of God that you should be walking in the favor of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't want you to be like the pike fish. You know, there's a story told about a pike fish, and the pike fish was in an aquarium, and it's known that pike fish eat all the fish that are around them. Well, I don't don't want you to leave out of here today like a pipe fish. And what happened was that they did a scientific study, and they put a glass wall in the aquarium, and the pipe fish kept bumping up his head against the glass wall. And so he couldn't get to the other fish. And so he literally was starving to death because he couldn't get to the fish. Well, the scientists saw that he was starving to death. So what they did was they lifted the glass partition, and the fish were swimming all around him. He ended up dying of starvation with fish swimming all around him. Why? Because he had run up against so many brick walls before. Let me tell you, I came to tell you today, the wall for favor has been lifted. Favor is all around you. The favor of God is everywhere you are. And you need to walk out of here today knowing it's favor working in my life. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care how many times the devil has put me up against a wall. I'm coming out. Why? Because favor's working in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, it's just that favor working for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell you something, when you walk in this level of divine favor, you don't have to beg nobody to help you. When you walk in the overflowing divine favor, you don't have to beg nobody to go out of their way to help you. God will move on their hearts to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. So you're not a beggar. But what you got to do is you got to do the F part of the faith process, that if you got aught against anybody, he says you got to forgive. Because none of it ain't gonna work if you don't forgive. So you gotta make sure that when you're walking in faith, you keep your heart right. Don't let nobody tamper with your heart. Don't let nobody get you out of faith. Why? Because I got something working. You can do whatever you wanna do. You can curse me out. You can talk about my mama. You can talk about my daddy. It ain't gonna bother me. Why? I got something working. And if it will help you out, you need to remind yourself, I got something in the layaway. And your attitude is not going to keep me from my promise over in the other realm. So if it means I got to forgive you, I'll be the nicest person around. Why? Because I'm working on something. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, I'm working on something. So you must forgive. And when your heart is right toward God and your desire is to please God, God is obligated to bring you into the company of the people that you need to know. The knowledge of the things that you need to know that are critical for your success and destiny in life. I said, when your heart is right toward God and your desire is to please God, God is obligated to bring you into the company of the people that you need to know. The knowledge of the things that you need to know that are critical for your success and destiny in life. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, my heart is right and favor is working in my life. You know, a couple of years ago, one of our ministers went to a funeral, and he was at the funeral. And so, you know, the funeral, the people ask you, well, what church are you from, or who are you here to represent, all that kind of stuff. And so he said, oh, I'm from New Light Church, Dr. Ivy Hilliard. And so the guy was like, oh, yeah, I know Hilliard. And you know, when people don't like you, they always mess up your name. Oh, yeah, I know Hilliard. And then he made the comment, he said, I knew Hilliard before God smiled on him. So the pastor came back and told us, and so I said, it ain't so much that God smiled on us, well, God has smiled on us, but it's the fact that we learned how to use our faith to produce the promises of God in our lives. And yes, God has smiled on us, but he saw two people who would commit themselves to the word of God and walk by faith in every situation. And that's why we're experiencing the promises of God. And if he would do the same thing, he could experience the same thing in his life. So I say to you today, don't be mad when you see the favor of God operating in somebody else's life. Don't get jealous and upset when you see the favor of God operating in somebody's life. God is no respecter of person. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. What you do is you just say, hey, it's working for them, it's going to work for me. I'm going to learn what principle they use to get where they are, and I'm going to apply that same principle in my life, and it must come to pass in your life. Now, I've got six six entitlements to the favor of God. You know, many times when you go to a new job and they'll tell you, you know, these are the benefits and, you know, this is what the job is going to pay you. And then, you know, they tell you, but you're only entitled to, like, you know, for example, if it says, you go on a new job and they say, well, you get 3 weeks vacation, you get health benefits, life benefits, all of that, but you're only entitled to the 3 weeks vacation after you've been here a year. Well, I've given you what the Word of God says about favor. I've given you the benefits of favor, but are you entitled to it? So I'm going to give you six entitlements to the favor of God, and you can see if one of those sounds like you, because guess what? If you're entitled to any of one of the six, you can start releasing your faith for the favor of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. How many of you are expecting favor? You got to begin to expect the favor of God to operate in your life like never before. You got to understand that it don't just work for preachers. It'll work for anybody who will release their faith. And so you got to begin to release your faith for the favor of God to operate in your life. You know, like even on the simplest things, like on your job, you know, you need to get your kids in a certain school. You need to believe for the favor of God to operate in your life. You need to get your kids on a certain bus line, or you need to purchase your kids a car or have money for your kids' tuition. You need to believe for the favor of God that God will raise up somebody to help your kids. You know, a couple of months ago, I taught this at our church, and one of the members of our church started releasing her faith for the favor of God. And so she's sitting at her desk, and she's like a loan officer at a bank. And she's just sitting at her desk, and she said that morning she had confessed that she walks in the favor of God, and she did the confession, and I'm going to give you the confession at the end that I gave to her. And so she just was confessing the confession and believing for the favor of God. And she said her phone at her desk rings, and it's the supervisor, actually the president of the bank. And he says, you know, I've been looking at you, and a lot of people have been telling me about you. He said, I want to offer you a promotion. I want you to be a second vice president of the bank, and I'm going to quadruple your income. Say, it's just that favor working. Say, it's just that favor working. All right. Entitlement number one to the favor of God. Your kingdom purpose entitles you to the favor of God. And that's the calling on your life that brings favor for you to carry out your assignment. In other words, if you have an assignment in the kingdom of God, because of that assignment and that calling on your life, God will raise up people to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you in your assignment. And especially those of you who are called to ministry, called to be pastors, because of the favor of God, your church will grow. You can begin to confess and believe for the favor of God that you have favor in your city and that people come to your church because God is raising up people in your city to help you carry out the assignment that he's given you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but unto every one of you of us is given grace or favor according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And the Amplified said, yet God's grace, God's unmerited favor was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gifts. So he says, based on the assignment that you have, God will give you favor in that assignment. Now turn over to Acts chapter 2 so that I can validate what I just said, that you can release your faith for favor so that your church can grow. I believe that it's the will of God for every church to be a mega church. If you're carrying out your assignment, you don't need to be still two people preaching to two people after 22 years. Amen. So you need to start releasing your faith that you have favor in your city. And it's enough people in every city to go to to your church. And then if your city is too small and it's five churches in the city and you got 500 people in the city and that is not going to make you a mega church, then you got to believe God's going to bring people from another city to fill up your church. All right. Acts chapter 2. Verse 46, just to validate that God will cause your church to increase because of the favor of God. Verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor. Say having favor. Having favor. Say it again. Say having favor. Having favor. Having favor with all the people, and the word and means that you cannot stop until you connect the two parts together. And is a conjunction. That means you got to add the other part of what was just said along with what's going to follow. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Because of the favor of God, the church started growing. Now turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Again, we see that the favor of God causes growth and increase. Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God, or in the favor of God. And the next Sabbath. Say the next Sabbath. That means the next time they came together, after Paul had instructed them to leave out with the favor of God on their life, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. They came because the favor of God was on their lives. And so if you want your ministry to grow, you need to start releasing your faith that you have favor in your city. And you know what? From the very beginning of our ministry, I have always prayed that God would surround us with people who have the heart of our ministry, that he exposes, reveals, and removes anyone or anything that's not right in our lives and in our ministry, and that we walk in the favor of God, and that almost the whole city of Houston gathers at the light to hear the word of God. Well, here we are 20 years after having a 92% decrease in membership in one day. In one day, 92% of our members walked off and left. And in 20 years, starting with 23 people, God took 23 people, and because of the favor of God, has multiplied our church to 22,000 people. Say, it's just that favor working. Hallelujah. And then, of course, Isaiah chapter 43 talks about how God will give people for your vision and men for your life. And so that's another confession that you can use for the favor of God in your ministry. Then the second entitlement to the favor of God is a kingdom promise. We already read it, Psalms 5 and 12, and then Proverbs 12 and 2, and it's talking about the uncompromisingly righteous are endowed with the favor of God. So those of you who are not pastors, this promise is for you. It's a promise to anybody that's in right standing with God that God will surround you with the favor of God. So you can release your faith, because I'm entitled to the favor of God. Why? Because I'm the righteous, and God promises to surround the righteous with favor as with a shield. And then the third entitlement to the favor of God is kingdom participation. Your money can cause favor to come upon your life. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I said your money can cause favor to come upon your life. I said your money can cause favor to come upon your life. You can sow a seed for the favor of God to come upon your life. You need favor on your job. What if you need favor with a contrary mate? Why don't you sow a seed and believe God that your husband has favor? You have favor in your mate's eyes. Why? Because your money can cause the favor of God to come upon your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now look at verse 8. And God is able to make. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And the Amplified says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. How many of you believe that God's able to do it? He said God is able to, just because I sow a seed, the Bible says he's able to make all grace abound toward me. In other words, God's going to make somebody give you favor. God's going to make somebody go out of their way to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. And guess what? Your seed can also deliver those who are not innocent. because of the favor of God and you sow a seed, you can call somebody who's not innocent. You got a son who made a bad choice. You sow a righteous seed in faith. The Bible says he will be delivered by the cleanness of your hands. Turn over to Job 22 because you look like you need to see it. Job 22. Say, my money entitles me to the favor of God. All right, for time's sake, I'm going to read it straight from the Amplified Version, but I'm reading Job chapter 22, verse 27. You will make your prayer to him, and he will hear you. You will pay your vows. That means that you're going to pay a commitment that you made to God. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. When they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up. And the humble person, he lifts up and saves. Now listen at verse 30. He will even deliver the one from whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. And just in case you don't understand it from the Amplified, he's saying, you go to God and you pray your prayer, and then you sow your seed, you pay the vow that you gave, that you said you were going to pay to God. And he says that you can stand up and decree a thing. I decree my boy's going to come out of jail. Then he says, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. And then he says that he will even deliver Johnny, even though he's not innocent, by the cleanness of your hands. Just because favor is working in your life, Johnny will get off. Say, it's just that favor working for me. All right, the fourth entitlement to the favor of God. Is it four or five? Four. All right, the fourth entitlement to the favor of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The fourth entitlement to the favor of God is, it's a kingdom principle. In other words, it's a law. If you be an avenue of favor for somebody else, then when you need somebody else to go out of their way to help you, God will cause them to go out of their way to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. You know, the Bible says that Job did not get delivered until he prayed for his friends. So it's a principle, it's a kingdom law that if I show kindness to somebody else, that when I need some kindness in my life, God has to raise up somebody to show me kindness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing, how many of you know to show favor to somebody else is a good thing? Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the person that they showed the good thing to. Is that what it says? It says the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So I'm not looking for you to show me favor back. I'm looking for God to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. I might show you kindness, and then you turn around and stab me in my back. It's okay, because I didn't do it as unto you. I did it as unto the Lord. And the Bible says that if I show you kindness, when I need some kindness in my life, God's going to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. It's a principle. It's a law. It has to work. Say, it's just that favor working. All right, and then number five. Well, let me just tell you the story real quick. How many of you know if you go out of your way to help somebody else, that God is obligated to raise up somebody to help you? I mean, I don't care what it is. If you decide one day when you're going to the mall and you're believing for the favor of God and it's a line of people behind you and you decide, well, you know what, today I'm going to let this person behind me have this parking space and I'm going to go on and walk a little bit further. Well, the next time you get ready to go to the mall, God will raise up somebody and not only will they give you that parking space, but they might even say, you know, you're on your way in the mall. Let me just bless you while you're on your way in and buy yourself something. Why? Because it's a principle. God's obligated to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. Well, let me give you a story in Genesis chapter 24. You don't have to turn to it. But the Bible talks about how the servant Eliezer went out to find a bride for Isaac, for the son of Abraham, his master. And so when Eliezer got ready to go out, he fasted before he left, and he prayed. He said, God, would you show my master favor in helping me finding him a wife? And I'll not eat until I find the wife that's for Isaac. And then he said, and this is my criteria, God. We're going to go back to the homeland. And when we get to the homeland, I know I'm going to be thirsty when I get there. He said, but not only am I, is the person that I believe is the wife of Isaac going to give me something to drink, but then they're also going to feed my, give my camel something to drink as well. And so Eliezer is there at the well, and he's just waiting around, and other people had come by the well, and nobody had offered him water or his camel's water. But then Rebecca walks up, and Rebecca says, sir, may I offer you a drink of water? She's showing kindness to somebody else. Well, it's a kingdom principle that if you show kindness to somebody else, God has to raise up somebody to show kindness to you. So she asked him, she said, may I offer you a drink of water? And he said, yes. And he's waiting because, you know, he's already got this criteria for bringing back the bride for Isaac. Now, remember, Abraham is the richest man in the land. So his son has some of that riches as well. So whoever this wife is going to be rich when she gets the hookup. So Rebecca understands being kind to other people. So Rebecca says, may I offer you a drink of water? And he says, sure, you may. So he gets the water, and then she says, may I offer your camel some water as well? And Eliezer is sitting there thinking, this is the one. But let me tell you, the Bible has a little footnote at the bottom, and it talks about how that it took her 4 hours to give the camel something to drink. She took 4 hours out of her time to show kindness to somebody else. And little did she know, the camels that she was giving water would be the ride that would take her back home. Just because she went out of her way to use her power, her ability, and her influence to help somebody else, the camel that she was giving water to was carrying the riches that she would wear for a lifetime. Say, just that favor working for her. So it's a kingdom principle. If you be nice to somebody else, God will raise up somebody to be nice to you. All right, and then number 5, kingdom partnership entitles you to the favor of God. That means that you can associate with somebody who got the favor on their life. And guess what? That favor will come upon your life. And then also, favor can be inherited by your children. So if you're walking in divine favor, your children can walk in divine favor. You know, Lot never heard a word from God, but he was hanging around Abraham, who had some favor working in his life. And so when Abraham got land, guess what Lot got too? He got some land too. So if you see somebody where the favor's working in their life, you better rub shoulders with them, hang around them, let me do whatever I need to do to help you out. Why? Because I want that favor to overflow on my life. And then the Bible talks about how in 2 Samuel chapter 9, the Bible says that David was sitting in his house and enjoying the riches that he had enjoyed. And then he remembered that he had a covenant with his friend Jonathan. That he told Jonathan that, you know, Jonathan, I'm your covenant friend for life. And that meant that whatever you give up, I'll give up. And if I'm here, your children have to experience some of the covenant benefits of our life. And so David's enjoying the riches of his house, and he realizes that, hey, I made a covenant with Jonathan way back then. And so he says, is there anybody left from the household of Saul that I might show some kindness, some favor for Jonathan's sake? And the Bible says that there was a servant in his house named Zeba. And Zeba stood up and said, yeah, I think it's somebody down there in Lodabar named Mephibosheth. He's the son of Jonathan. He said, go get him. He said, I need to show him some favor. Why? Because his father and I had a relationship. His father and I were in covenant together. And I need to show him some kindness for Jonathan's sake. And the Bible says that when he got there, Mephibosheth was crippled in both of his feet. He had been in a land of low down. And David said, we will not eat until you come to the table. Favor will make everybody else wait on you. It'll cause you to have preferential treatment. And even when you don't understand you deserve it, because Mephibosheth said, why for such a low-down dog as I? He said, it ain't about you, Mephibosheth. It's about the covenant I made with your father. He said, you come to the table, you'll eat, he said, and then I'll give you all the land that was once your father's. Say, it's just that favor working. All right, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Last one, Hebrews chapter 4. All right, so I gave you five already. Kingdom purpose, kingdom promise, kingdom participation, kingdom principle, kingdom partnership, and the final one, hold on to your seat, because guess what? Your kingdom prayers entitles you to the favor of God. If you pray out of a righteous heart and go to God with boldness and confidence, you have a right to the favor of God. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read again from the Amplified for time's sake. It says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we might receive mercy and for our failures and find favor or grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help coming just when we need it. You go to God with confidence and boldness, understanding I got a right to this favor in my life, and go to God and say, God, your word declares that I'm supposed to walk in the favor of God. So, Father, I pray for the favor of God to come upon my life as never before. I declare, Father, I receive an outpouring of divine favor on my life. And, Father, your word says if I come boldly to the throne of grace, that I'll receive grace and mercy just when I need it. Just when I need somebody to be raised up at the light company, I believe you'll raise them up. Just when I need somebody at the mortgage company, I believe you'll raise them up. Just when I need somebody at the loan officer, I believe you'll raise them up. Favor will come just when you need it. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet and let's make a confession of faith. Hallelujah. Say, Father. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, in your word that it's my time to walk in the favor of God. So I boldly declare favor is working in my life. I believe that right now you're arranging circumstances, situations, events in my life for the favor of God to show up. I release my faith that you're raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. Father, your word declares that if I sow a righteous seed, that I have a right to the favor of God. So, Father, next opportunity I have to sow a seed, I'm going to sow a seed specifically for the favor of God to come upon my life. I thank you, Father, that not only do I walk in the favor, but my children have a right to this favor. So I thank you, Father, that it's through your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, through preferential treatment, that my children